Thank you so much. Jesus Christ, the faithful volunteer. Jesus Christ, the faithful volunteer. Shall I pray for you briefly, please, if you bow down your head? Father God, I thank you so, so much that you are a mighty God. You are a wonderful God. Today we open our hearts to you. We open our minds to you. God, speak to us. And Father, teach us to be like Jesus. For we are more like Jesus when we serve. And today we pray that you speak to us. Let your word come forth according to the name of Jesus. Father God, let it encourage us, oh God. Let it build us up. Father God, let it also challenge us where we need direction and correction. Father God, do so according to your name. Let the name of Jesus Christ be exalted. Lord, do not leave your house without a witness. Right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jesus Christ, the faithful volunteer. Volunteers are servants of God. Say amen to that. Amen. If you volunteer in a church, you are serving God. So volunteers are servants of God. So servants of God need to volunteer, right? Yeah. Say right, right? Yeah. Thank you. So servants of God need to volunteer in his house. You see, Jesus Christ was a faithful volunteer. What do we say? People who are faithful volunteers like Jesus Christ, they are loyal. They are devoted. They are trustworthy. They are dependable, reliable, dedicated, committed. They are true. They are authentic. In fact, they are the real deal. What you see is what you get. If they say they're going to do this, they will do it. Remember what I said earlier on? Volunteers in the house of God are servants of God. So we read and said, therefore, as a result of what I've just said, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if something encourages you to be united with Christ or to be like Jesus Christ, if there's any comfort from the love that he showed for you, that he gave his life and everything for you and me to be friends of God and to serve in the house of God, if there is anything of the sort, if there's any common sharing of the Spirit of God in you, then if there is any tenderness and compassion, if there is tenderness and compassion, that means as a volunteer, we are talking about tenderness and compassion in you, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. That means be of this kind of mind, having the same love and being one in spirit and of one mind. Hallelujah. So the Apostle Paul was writing this to encourage us. So then, we will start with Jesus. We said Jesus Christ was a volunteer. He was a volunteer in the sense that volunteers are usually not paid. They are usually not paid helpers, not paid assistants, and not paid to do what they do. But they are also doing something for a great cause. Let me read it properly for you. Volunteers are unpaid helpers and assistants for a great cause. For a great cause. For a great reason. So, if you choose to volunteer in the house of God, it's for a great cause. It's for a great reason. It is a noble thing to do. Hallelujah. For that reason, Jesus Christ, knowing that he himself was a volunteer and his disciples were squabbling, oh God, I've done so much of this. Oh, I want to be the one who is on top and that person to be, why am I not in that position? Why am I not doing this? Why am I doing this all by myself and nobody helped me? They were squabbling all over. And you know what he said? He said, hang on, boys, hang on. I mean, if there were any women there, probably said disciples. So I'm assuming there were women as well, because women will always follow a great cause. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm not saying men don't, but I'm saying women do. So in Mark chapter 10, verse 42 to 45, I read this. Jesus called his disciples together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you, my brothers and sisters. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Hallelujah. Whoever wants to be great among you must be a servant, and even a slave of all. Be there for everybody who needs your services. Give it out freely without cost. Slaves were not paid, were they? Is that again? No. Exactly. So, be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So we are saying servant. And a servant is somebody who serves, folks, who serves another. Right? So if Jesus Christ says we should be servants of all, and Paul is saying be of the same mind, of the same love, of the same tenderness, of the same compassion, and of the same spirit, then what he's saying is that we should be like Jesus. Amen? We should do the things that he did. He said, I was a servant, somebody who serves another. Example, an employee who serves somebody else is a servant. Do you understand that? Yeah. You see, but then you go there for financial rewards. That is why you say, when they stop paying you, you will not go there again. So you're a servant, but not a volunteer. But I said, Jesus Christ was a faithful volunteer and a servant. So what God is saying, and Paul is writing to you and me, is that we are going to be faithful, loyal, devoted, trustworthy, dependable, reliable, dedicated, committed, true, authentic, the real deal volunteers. And we are going to be servants and slaves of all. A slave doesn't mean that you have to lie down for people to walk on you, folks. Means you give out your services to the master for no physical rewards, no financial rewards. Or put it another way, it's not because of that that you have to give your heart and soul to the master. And a servant, as we said, an employee serves somebody, and especially an employee hired to do household tasks. I want you to underline the word household task. Or be a personal attendant to somebody. So the sort of volunteers that Paul is actually, bringing the picture that he's trying to cast before us, and the picture that Jesus Christ is trying to cast before us, is somebody who is a servant, who not only serving somebody, but has been hired to do household tasks, to work in God's house. Hallelujah. We have been hired without a wage to be in God's house, sometimes with some wage. To literally serve in God's house, to be personal attendant to somebody. So that means if we are going to serve, we are going to be personal attendants to somebody. Turn to somebody and say, I want to be personal attendant to you. This will be a difficult one. Hallelujah. We want to be personal attendants to each other. So that means you're having a personal service. You see, when a service is personalized, it is special. That means you give to somebody all your attention, the quality things that you actually want to give to yourself, you give to that person. And it's just like having a visitor in your home. How many of you, if you invite a visitor and one, you don't make no preparation, you don't even put your carpet right, you don't do anything, and when they come, you say, oh, wait for me, let me get to the fish and chip shop. I hear they fry good. And get someone put it on the table. Nobody does that, is it? I'm not saying fish and chip is not good. It's really nice food. But I'm saying we make an effort to go another step. Isn't it? We go that extra step. So we give them personalized service. You clean your house. I've been vacuum cleaning for a long, long time. Not because I'm lazy, but because I've got beautiful young ladies in the house. That is absolutely true. You see, we've trained them well, so they know right from, before they even reach teenage years that they have a chore to do. You clean the house. So when they grow up, they'll be good cleaners. and their house will be good. Anyone marry any of my daughters, you've got a treasure. They can cook, they are clean, they are polite. And they are filled with abundance of love. So whichever way you look at it, you've got a treasure. I won't ask for any cattle for it. It's free as long as you fall in love. Right. Let me move away from this. Let's get to the fish. Amen. Thank you, Catherine. So they are hired to do personalized service. So if you are a volunteer, remember that you are a servant of God, you are volunteering in the house of God, you've been hired by God to give a personalized service to people. So you give it heart and soul. You do your very best to give the very best. Nothing short but the very best. You prepare well for it. Yes or no? You prepare well for it. And there's that expectation. There's that excitement that I am going to offer this personalized service maybe to Brother Amu, who's going to visit me one day, and it's going to be good. So, what we're saying here is that we want to offer the personalized service, and we want to do that. An employee, because of the financial reward, mainly sees the narrow confines of the role. Excuse me, that he's been employed to do. But a volunteer sees the ultimate outcome of his or her contribution to the vision of the organization. Hallelujah. When you are employed, you look at your job description. That is what you do. And most often, you work within that. I promise you, I won't finish in 15 minutes, but it's okay to wave it up. Keep waving it. That will help me. So what we're saying here, folks, is that an employee looks at the job description and know this is my role, and they play their role well because they are going to be paid for it. But a volunteer, not only will they look at what they do, they look beyond and see the vision of the organization. Where is this church going? Where is this charity going? What do we want to achieve? They look at a big picture. And therefore, everything that they do, they know that it's contributing to the bigger outcome than what they are doing. They know they are making a difference in what they are doing. So they give a personalized service. They do the best that they can because they know that at the end of the day, the whole picture is going to come good because everybody is going to bring their bits. And at the end of the day, we have a mosaic of a lovely picture. Hallelujah. So that is the difference between a volunteer and a worker or an employee. So for that reason, Paul the Apostle is exhorting us to have the same mind as Jesus Christ had. And for that reason, Jesus Christ is encouraging that we are servants. We don't lord over people, but we open our hearts to serve because we are more like Jesus when we serve. A volunteer looks at a big picture. And the Bible said that he, Jesus Christ, he saw the big picture to be seeking souls to be brought to Christ and who are lost, and be gracious, be a gracious God and offer kindness and mercy to people and to give his life as a ransom for many. He knows that the big picture for him is the salvation of souls, and salvation belongs to God. That's what Prophet Isaiah wrote. Salvation belongs to God. So he saw God's agenda, that this is what God wants. This is the big picture. So I am going to give my very best, even to the point that I have to lay down my life for the salvation of people. And I will do that graciously. I will do that with a willing heart. And I will do that seeking people that are lost and bring them into a relationship with God. That is God's story. God wants to be in a relationship with every man and every woman. He wants that closer relationship. And that closer relationship is that which Jesus Christ came so that he will pave the way for you and me to have that relationship with him. So if today you are not having that relationship with him, then you are not fulfilling the calling that Jesus Christ called you for. Are you with me? That was his agenda. That was his calling. That was what God asked him to do. He saw the big picture of salvation, which belongs to God. Let me take one character, Moses. We have Moses here. Moses waved to me. Everybody should know. It's a handsome young man over there. Moses. So, but we're talking about Moses in the Bible. Moses saw the big picture. He saw beyond the phrase, "Let my people go." That was the phrase that his brother was saying all the time when they went to Pharaoh, because Moses was giving some excuse that he couldn't speak. That one, I'm still debating it. I knew he could speak. But I said, "Let my people go." But let my people go where? For many of them were born in Egypt. They had been there for 400 years. And none of them was around when their fathers and mothers came into the land. So the generation that God is saying, "Go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go," they did not know where they come from. They hadn't seen any land. So where are they going? But you know what? Moses saw the big picture. And the big picture that he saw was that they were leaving Egypt, but actually their priority was to go and worship God. Amen? So the big picture for Moses to stand as a volunteer to do the work of God is to bring people to come and worship God. And for us as a church, when you are volunteering the church and making a contribution to the church with your gift set, with your passion, with whatever you're doing, remember, the priority for you is to bring people to worship God. You are leveraging minds and hearts that are stuck in their own ways or that are distressed and tired, because prior to this, if you read chapter 3, the Bible said they were crying. We were tired. We were burdened. They just wanted a relief. And people come here sometimes, they are tired, they are burdened, they are happy. They just want to engage with God for God to say something to them. Sometimes to lift up the burden, or sometimes just to stand by their side. And your role is to leverage them to worship God with your gift. Praise God. So if you are volunteering in a church, you are leveraging people to worship God as a priority. It's not so much of the fact that you've been called into a ministry, but the purpose is to leverage them so that they will worship God. Because some people, and most of us, we don't know what tomorrow will be for us. And you leveraging us to focus on God will help us, because God knows the future if we allow him into our lives. And he will guide us. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that our minds make up our plans, but God will direct our path. And that is what we do, because we have plans, but we want God to direct us. So in Exodus 3, 7 to 12, and then 18 said, "Look, I want you to know that the ultimate goal is to to worship God and the true God, and also to inherit the land that God has planned for you." So I would say, look, God has a purpose for each one of us. We all are journeying into a place that sometimes we do not know, but God has purpose for us to be who he intends us to be. So for that reason, we are helping people not only to worship God, but also to get to our ultimate destination, a land of our own, where we will be at peace with God and with ourselves. That is why we volunteer in a church, that people will be at peace with God and with themselves. And that is what we want to be. We want to be inheriting our destinies, where we know that God is with us and God is at the center of everything. Folks, we are more like Jesus when we serve. We are more like Jesus when we serve. And we said Jesus Christ was what? Was a faithful volunteer. And surely he was a faithful one. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, reads this: "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. And verse 6 of Hebrews chapter verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 3 said that, look, Jesus Christ was a faithful as the son over God's house. He was faithful as a son over God's house. So have this picture in your mind, folks, that we are, just like Moses, we are going to be faithful in God's house. And to be to be faithful in God's house is to be like Jesus. Be faithful and true to yourselves. We have to share the heavenly calling. The heavenly calling is to come and worship God. The heavenly calling is come and ultimately inherit our inheritance, to walk into our inheritance. The heavenly call is for us to make life easy for people to engage with God. The pastor alone cannot do it. Your leaders alone cannot do it. We need you all to help us to do it. And the part that you play is as important as the next person who is opening the door for you, or pressing the button at over at the back of the media desk, or helping our children out there and serving us with food and projecting things, all the things that happen. As people wave banners in the church, it literally stands. This is like, God, you are God of war. You know what? Also, your blood is spread over us today to cover us, even from our sins. All these are trying to help us to engage with God in many ways. And these are volunteer, faithful things that we do. But Hebrews chapter 4 verse 3 said, for every house is built by someone, but God is builder of everything. For every house is built by someone. So if you want the house of God to be built, it's got to be built by someone. And the someone is you. And the someone is you. So what are you doing to help build God's house? God's not going to come from the heavens to do that. He is the master builder. But he said, for every house is built by someone. So today, if you are sitting here and you are not a volunteer, are you not someone? Are you not in God's house? Do you not want people to be saved? Do you not people want to worship God? Do you not want people to be forgiven of their sins, for God is gracious? Do you not want to see people really engage with God, have their burdens lifted? Do you not want people who are crying to God to have God hear their prayers? Are you a faithful volunteer? Every house is built by someone. Please, if you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. I just want you to know the sort of God that we are serving and the sort of Jesus that you and me are following. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to 16. If you open to it, it reads like this. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire. On his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his tie, he has his name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. This is the leader that you and me are following. We are following someone who opens his mouth and rides on a white horse. It's a vehicle of authority. It's a vehicle of victory. And that rider is faithful and true. So a volunteer needs to be faithful and true, need to be authentic in what you do. A volunteer needs to bring justice. You have to serve fair. You have to correct when people are late to do what they promise they do. When they do work and they don't do it well, thank them for doing it, but correct them for not doing it well, so that next time they will do it well. Do you hear that? We have to. Faithful and true. With justice, he judges the world and wages war. You see, when we talk about wages, what we're talking about? Praying for people that are on your team. So that no enemy will come and take them away from you. We have to wage war. We have to get into warfare. We have this terminology, warfare, prayers that are serious, prayers that you are determined, prayers that you are saying, I am not going to give in until I'm the victor, in Jesus' name. Amen. That is warfare prayer. You don't give in until you win. No, it's not an answer. Losing is not an answer. Defeat is not an answer. Victory is the only answer that you know. You're going to wage war to win. He dressed in robe, dipped in blood. And who dipped himself in blood for us? Jesus Christ, isn't it? He dipped himself in blood for us. And who is the Word of God? It's Jesus, isn't it? Oh, you don't know. He is. Go to John chapter 1. He is the Word of God. And angels or armies of angels follow him. Earlier part in the year, we were talking about ministering angels. They follow him, and they're there with you, folks. They're there with them. Coming out of his mouth, a two-edged sword or sharp sword to strike the nations, to bring correction. Because when you read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, instead of all scripture is God's breath, or the word of God is God inspired, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You hear that? So the servant of God need to be corrected, need to be taught, need to be rebuked, need to be trained in doing things well, doing things right. So that you'll be thoroughly equipped. It is only by so doing that you'll be thoroughly equipped to serve God and to do every good work. So, if you are serving and you are not correcting, you're not directing, you're not encouraging, folks, we are not doing what God has taught us to be servants of God. And I want you to take this message and go to our website and listen to last week's message to challenge you and tie them and ask you, what is God telling me to do? What is God telling me to do? Let's go back to our reading in Revelation 19 and I'll tie it up. That this guy is the Almighty God, or God Almighty. On his robe, they've written a name. He's the King of Kings. So we are serving the King of Kings. Hallelujah. You are not even serving Queen Elizabeth II. I'll be privileged to be asked to serve. At least one day I'll have a title, Sir Gideon. Just cleaning the Queen's house. And my wife will be Dame Irene, whatever. Of Lewisham. Well, Greenhide, I meant. Okay, let me move on to what I'm doing. Right, so we are serving the King of Kings, folks. So if you are volunteering in a church in God's house, know that you are serving the King of Kings. You are serving the King of all kings. Think about the most respected king or queen that you know. When they greet that way, when they wave that way, you are serving the King of Kings. And when you serve the King of Kings, you are not a doormat. You have a title with you. I just use that as an example. God knows and gives you a name. Nobody sees it. That was what this title was alluding to. That he has a name. Nobody knows except him. Nobody knows the reward God has for you. Nobody sees what you do, but God sees it. Only God sees it. And one day, he will write your name on your robe, or will give you a stone with that name written on it. And we will be thinking, that was only Jenny. How come she has a different name? And God said, when you served, I saw it. When you volunteered, I saw it. So, folks, The King of Kings is whom we serve. And I would love to serve the King of Kings. I would love to be in his palace. I would love to be in his house. And his house is your local church, folks. As you give the hampers out there, you are serving the King of Kings. As you are making it possible for elderly people, older people, infirm and disabled people, mothers, and people to make it easy for them to come in, you are serving the King of Kings with your money. And just like Bramwell and Melinda were saying, look, trust God, folks. Trust God. I totally believe that we can trust God. You see, this church hasn't got much money. But do you know that those doors over there cost £10,000? We didn't borrow money from nowhere. The church paid for it. The curtains that you see over here, £10,000. Looks like £10,000 is the fashionable figure for us. Because it's industrial curtain. And things like that's £10,000 plus labor. And the church paid for it. Once upon a time, Alice, you know, we didn't have toilets. Even the ladies' toilet, that one was cheaper than £10,000. Was £7,500. Because it was an office, and we had to change into toilets. There weren't any. There wasn't any downstairs. That cost us a bit of money. £16,500. The church paid for it. So you, the church, that nobody cares, you are volunteering your money. You are volunteering your heart and soul. And not a single person who volunteered and contributed to any of these things has come and said, look, I've either lost my job or I'm living in poverty. These people have actually been promoted. These people have actually been blessed. And I'm glad to know Melinda have a house. I came. It's a very beautiful house. Great place to be. And I'm praying that within the next 2 to 3 years, you even extend it bigger. Amen. Hey, I'm sure that's your desire. And I'm just saying that it happens. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, coming back to tie up today's preach and to get your mind to be thinking is this. That Jesus Christ, not only was he a faithful volunteer, but he laid aside his majesty. He laid aside his majesty. He laid aside his kingdom. He laid aside who he was. So get back to Philippians with me, chapter 2. He said, here, I'm just reading it. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, verse 3 onwards, or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used or abused or to be grasped or robbed. To his own advantage, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. You see, we read in Revelation to picture you Jesus who he is, the mighty warrior, the King of Kings. And now we are looking at him as the servant as well. And also we look at him and said, he is actually, by very nature, he is God. But he took upon himself human nature. You think we don't know that you have a qualification, that a master's degree, doctorate degree. You think we don't know that you have a real job out there, that you are a manager or you do something. You think we don't know that you have a real job, that you earn money, and now you're cleaning our lavatories and you're cleaning our carpets. You think we don't know that? God knows. Hallelujah. God knows. Somebody will look at you and say, Dwayne the cleaner. And you may be upset. I'm not saying you are, right? Anyway, you don't clean the church, so you know. So, you see, they may say, Dwayne the cleaner. And you'll be thinking, how dare you say I'm upset? You see what? God don't see you that way. God knows who you are. And you know you chose to make yourself that way, to serve in the house of the Most High God. You made a choice. that I want to serve the Most High God because I want to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Being God, a form and nature of God, he humbled himself to take on the nature of man, to be like one of us in human nature, so that he can serve us that way. So that he can understand, so that he can meet the needs that you and me have. Because we have needs. Somehow along the line, we need to clean this place. Somehow along the line, we need to hear some beautiful sound. Somehow along the line, something needs to happen for our mothers and for our elderly, mothers and fathers that are in this house. I am of that tradition that I believe passionately that we have to do whatever we do to literally lay down for our older and elderly people and people who need us. We have to show them absolute respect and make life comfortable for them because they've given up so much. They never got the gray hair by mistake. Some of you may have it hereditary, but we can tell who has got it hereditary and who has actually gained the gray hair by experience, by wisdom, and by age. And for that reason, we want to respect them. So today, we will say that we have the same mind of Jesus Christ, that God knows who you are. Let people walk of you if that is what they choose to do. But God knows who you are. But don't let nobody step on you unnecessarily because they don't deserve to step on you. Jesus Christ's mandate was clear. He knew that he had to make himself like us. He had to be human like us. In order that he can become the merciful and faithful high priest in serving God, that he might make atonement for the sins of people. You have to be human. You have to relate to people, be relational. Come to people's level. See what their needs are. When you're doing it for God, so do it that way. So his mandate was clear for him. He understood it, that his mandate was seeking souls, especially those who are seeking him with all their hearts, to be a gracious God and a willing worker. For that reason, there was no selfishness in Jesus Christ. He had no selfish ambition, but rather he was humble, looking to the interests of others. That is what the Apostle Paul was writing, look after the interests of others. So if you volunteer in the church, it's not because of you, but you are looking after the interests of others. Are you with me? You're doing it for others. You see, the hotel manager who stands there and collecting your money and being so nice to you, he's looking after your interest. But he knows or she knows that you are paying for it. He's going to get financial rewards. So as you look after the interests of others, you give them the very best. Because if you don't, they will not come back again. This customer service, folks. If you don't, they will not come back again. And if you see the next person around you being not nice to somebody in their service, tell them that this is not good because we will lose a valued customer. Somebody that God appreciates. Somebody who has come here looking for love and affection and relationship and to commune with God. We cannot treat human beings that way. We have to value them, folks. So give it your very best. Open your heart to people. No selfish ambition. Look after the interests of others. Because that's what, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 tells us. That our service is to God, but to help others. We want to help others. A mindset of humility and obedience throughout our ministry. This is a message that I would like to continue. What are we doing with time? Let me have 5 more minutes of your time and then we will stop here. Right. This is a message that I will continue next week. But I will say this. Who will go is the question. Turn to me to Isaiah chapter 6. If you have your Bibles with you. Isaiah chapter 6. I need to get the habit of bringing Bibles. These days, Bibles are on your mobiles. Download those apps and move away from Betfresh apps and Bet360 apps. Get the Bible. Betfresh, Bet360. You don't do it. That's why you didn't know it. People who use their money to do betting. Stop downloading betting apps. Download Bible apps that will help you, to help your soul. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 6 with me if you have your Bible, and we will read something together. Isaiah was a prophet in Israel, and this is what happens. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the trail of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphims, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. With two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of his voice, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And Isaiah said, "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sins atoned for." Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." Today I want to end this message, to be continued next week, that God has a message. God has a purpose. Has a message for his people. Some were suffering. Some were living in terrible sin. Some, their lips could not even speak the truth. Everything they opened their mouth to say is lie. Two lie in my language. Whatever it is, they just don't get it right. A few will worship God. But God said, "I have a message for you all. Because my purpose is for you to have a relationship with me and worship with me. My purpose is that when you come close to me, then I will unfold my will and my purpose for your life. And when you walk in it, you will be all right. You will be successful. Then, at the end of it all, you will live in my house. I will live in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 23, isn't it? So, here, that is God's purpose. He said, "Who will go for me? I have a message for my people." There are a mixed bunch of people that are coming in. Last week we heard in David's time, some of them were wicked, some of them were worthless, some of them were distressed, some of them were in pain, some of them were in debt. All these people walk into God's house. And God says, "I have a message for them." But who will go and do that? You see, the message is not just what I preach here, folks, or what a preacher preaches here. The message is the announcement that we have, the prayer that we have, the music we listen to, and everything that everybody does in this church for people to hear God's word so that their needs are met. So who will go? Isaiah had all the excuses while he could not serve. He said, "Oh, woe unto me. My sins are many. I'm a man of unclean lips. I've cursed everybody I've seen today because they vex me so much." Not what I've done, but that's what Isaiah was saying. I said, everybody has vexed me. Whatever they did, they vexed me. I've cursed them all. So my lips are unclean. I've told so many lies, my lips are unclean. I've said so many things which are untrue, my lips are unclean. He had so many excuses. And he said, "Look, there's so much sin in the land." That was his excuse, because he couldn't stand the sin in the land. That was what was vexing him so much. So he gave all the excuses that we could not serve. But God made it easy for him. He said, he sent an angel and said, "Look, I will touch your tongue with an altar and with a coal from the altar of God." So God will make it easy for you. If you really want to serve God, he will be there for you. And look at what he said. "Who will I send? Who will go for us?" You see, who will go for Jesus Christ? Who will go for God the Father? Who will go for the Holy Spirit? Who will go for the angelic beings? They're there to help us. Who will go for us? He didn't say, "Who will go for me?" So God is looking for men and women whom he will send with his message to serve his house. And Isaiah from there on said, "Look, here I am. Send me." So today, I will end this message by saying, are you here? Are you going to say, "Here I am," to send me? God's message is, who will go for me? Are you serving in your church? You see, statistics show that those who serve in God's house and serve wholeheartedly, heart and soul, they tend to grow towards God. And those who don't serve tend to move away towards God because zeal for the house of God has not consumed them. They're not at the center of God. They come and go. And soon, they fall out of faith. So I'm challenging you with this. And in this church, statistics have shown me that those who are growing Christians and pressing on are those who actually volunteer in the church. Those who don't, they're just their Christians. Truth needs to be told. So today, who will go for the Lord? God bless you.